I mean, I probably will eat my words, but I don't ever see, like, Nicki Minaj being in Battlefield, as an example, as, like, a skin.
Or,
like,
do you think that makes Battlefield cooler?
Yeah,
I would say that that's because Battlefield doesn't have the cachet. Like,
hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about Rocksteady making another live service game. That's questionable. Microsoft walking back the cost of some of their upcoming releases. And the Nintendo Switch 2 selling pretty damn well. But first, we put the call out to you, the audience, last week, asking for your unpopular video game opinions for a new segment that we're kind of keen to get off the ground, where we kind of pick them apart, share our own thoughts and opinions, and I guess try not to roast you too hard in the process. And we had P.T. Greggles write in, who I have to imagine is like a physical therapist of some kind.
He's a P.T. Like Barnum fan.
Trainer. Yeah. P.T. Greggles wrote, "My unpopular opinion is that Digimon World, released in 1999 in Japan or 2000 worldwide on the PS1, is a better game than most Pokemon games. The sense of freedom and exploration feels so rewarding. The 3D models and pre-rendered backgrounds look amazing. And having multiple digivolution paths instead of set evolution line feels great." Sorry, I think I've lost the back half of that message. "Feels more engaging to me. But my favorite feature has to be recruiting Digimon in the world and seeing the town grow with unique buildings and features. Also, not making it to the toilet in time and watching a Digimon take a dump on the floor was funny back then and still funny now." That I absolutely agree with. Shannon, I didn't play this game, but I was a big Digimon kid as a little tyke. Maybe it doesn't come as much surprise. You did play Digimon World, though. Do you agree with this sentiment?
I do. I really like Digimon World. I think
better than most Pokemon games, though.
I haven't really played any Pokemon.
We can give this game its flowers. Let's not mistake that. But he said explicitly.
James, I'm talking. Just get in your...
Brody was talking.
James, don't interrupt. Talking first. This was like ahead of its time. Like, there was nothing in the Pokemon world like this when this came out on the PS1. Like, it was fully 3D. You went around, like, catching Digimon in real time and recruiting them and growing your town and training them and evolving them. It's like Pokemon, what they've done in the last like 4 years with like fucking Arceus and stuff.
But think about what you're saying.
It was great. Pardon?
Get your head out your Arceus and think about what you're saying.
It's a really great game. I'm the fantasy critic champ, bitch. I know what I'm talking about. It was a great game. Every time there's a Digimon game announced,
so you're standing
like, oh,
by
it,
that it's better
like
than
this?
Most Pokemon games. That's what you're saying.
Most Pokemon games. Yeah, I think Pokemon's probably more refined now. But we're always talking about how like Pokemon hasn't evolved at all over the last 25 years. Like, I think Digimon was way ahead of its time. I think the newer Pokemon games are like inspired by Digimon World in a way that Pokemon hadn't done anything like at that time.
Coming from someone that put 50 hours plus into Power World, I reckon it's time Pokemon games like dramatically reinvented themselves, and I reckon I would welcome a new Digimon game coming out and shaking things up and kind of twisting the formula instead. I always liked the design of Digimon more than Pokemon. They just had like this kind of, you know, the kind of cool like cyberpunk sort of, not cyberpunk, but cyberish digital sort of edge to them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. I think I more proudly
it
kind
adapted
of
like
my,
the
like,
actual
Digimon merchandise that I did like my Pokemon.
Digimon, like the idea of like raising a Digimon in your hand, like a Tamagotchi, like it did that in game so well as well, while still like being like an actual game with a story. Yeah. Highly recommend
so I think
jumping
Shannon
in.
And I
you
are
and
both
you'd
on
love it.
P.T. Greggles' side. Brody,
yep.
James,
Big
I sense you disagree.
I'll be honest.
I'm scared to talk.
I haven't played it either, so I haven't played Digimon World. But look, Shannon's making a case for it. I might allegedly try and play it sometime. I don't know. Look, I have a fondness for Digimon as well. Like, I remember the little lenticular discs you could get out of the chips and stuff, and I was big on those. But I don't know. To say it's better than most Pokemon games.
I actually am surprised we're soft launching this with such a correct opinion. As in, like, I thought we would have.
This is not an unpopular opinion. This is.
I don't actually personally feel it's that controversial either. Like, I think
none of us are like Pokemon diehards, though.
I don't know. I played Pokemon up until I think 12. I stopped at Black and White. And then
12 years ago.
I don't know. Maths. Anyway, yeah. I always played Pokemon, but when I think about it, like Digimon World, I don't know what the new Digimon games are like. Like,
aren't they like visual novels?
Are they? Surely not.
I thought they were. I might be wrong.
Like the Cyber Sleuth games, are those the most?
Yeah, like
ones?
Stuff like that, Survivor and all that shit. Like I've never.
I thought they were like RPG light visual novels.
But Digimon World on PS1. I agree with Shannon. Like I think there was a lot there that
you may
Pokemon
speak.
Games are still continue. Coming catching up to. So yeah, good one, PT Greggies or whatever, whoever you may be.
That's I have a question one. For the Gruth. Digimon World Next Order. I'm currently looking at what Digimon game I could play today. What's Digimon World Next Order? Is this like a remake of it, or
you'd have to ask PT?
I think
Gruth.
they've all tried to capture the vibe, but I don't know if they've all had issues.
Yeah, the vibe I get is like it's like a Need for Speed situation where they just keep making them.
Oh, there's like four of them at least. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like we would have heard about it if it was like, or maybe
the original. Up. In the same way, older Pokemon games are good. Like the original Digimon's good because it's just like the Digimon you know. I mean, I don't really know if they've added more Digimon, but I assume they have over time, right?
I don't know. I like how you've just linked a 7-hour long play in our chat. Well,
I think everyone should give it a scroll.
Do you want me to watch this now?
I remember being quite excited when you had, you know, you'd find a new Digimon and then it would evolve. And then because the internet wasn't a thing as much,
and you
then it would be
had
a
to do different
surprise,
things to get them to evolve from memory, didn't you? Like you had to give it
I
like
think
different, or like a story bit or whatever. So it just did it
like
really
certain
well.
Food or like items, yeah. Which is like, I mean, it's kind of Pokemon-y, but I think this is that's a very reasonable unpopular opinion. I can see why it's unpopular, because Pokemon people love everything that they do, but. Yeah, I don't think it's something. Yeah. I think you should try Digimon World on PS1 if you have a way to do it, legally or not, and see how good it is or was.
Maybe I'll find it like available as a retro game purchase on EB Games or something.
I am surprised they haven't tried to remake it. Like, given Digimon is still popular and they're still putting these games out, I feel like it'd do well. Make it happen.
I feel like with all of the kind of interest in like Y2K era sort of stuff at the moment, like now would be the time to bring Digimon back in like a big way. I don't know.
You can
maybe
still
that's
buy them.
Popular opinion.
I see them in shops, like the little Digimons, like
the kind of more Tamagotchi sort of version of
I think that's
Jurassic Park.
That's still a well. That's a little,
that's adjacent.
That's a bit different.
I need to see like the reverse shot of your desk someday because you just
if you
randomly produce
anything,
the most insane stuff.
Yeah.
I just dread to think what sort of smorgasbord is.
I'm just trying to recall. Can anyone name a Digimon right now?
Agumon, that one, the dinosaur.
That's the most known one, I think.
Angelmon, the angel?
Dynamic.
Obviously.
Which is like the what's the most evolved version of the orange dinosaur?
Something.
God, I know Rex, what he looks like.
Something Rexamon or something.
T-Rexamon.
He's got the horn, like the brown helmet.
If I Google T-Rexamon,
thing.
Does it come up?
Because I remember I used to fuck with him. He was cool. But I don't remember
anyone now worried about some Digimon. Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it looks like you've opened it. Is it any good?
It's been on.
Oh, Agumon.
Dino Rexamon.
Yeah.
Dino Rexamon.
What's the poo?
Yeah, that's... The poo is a poo. What do you mean? It's not a person.
No, Dino Rexamon is not the one I'm talking about.
Sukamon. Yeah, there is a poo Digimon.
Oh, like it's... Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant like...
looks like poo.
Yeah, okay. Metal Greymon. That's what you're thinking of. Or Skull Greymon.
Metal Greymon is what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to play this game now. I'm very thankful for this person for bringing it back into my life. I'm gonna start it legally.
Good soft launch.
We've got more show to get along with. So if you have like a strong feeling one way or another on Digimon versus Pokemon, drop a comment below. And otherwise, give us your unpopular opinion. And this could be...
And we'll be very kind to you as well.
Yeah, PC Greggles can be you. Hopefully we get a bit more divided on the next one. All right, on with the rest of the show. The first piece of news I want to start with today is Rocksteady. Maybe hiring for a new live service game if a job ad is anything to go by. The job listing is for a new executive producer position and will lead the development of a high-quality AAA game based on one of Warner Brothers' iconic IPs. Quote, overseeing all phases of development from concept to post-launch live operations. Brody, I might come to you first on this. What are Rocksteady thinking, do you think?
It's hard to know, hey? Yeah, I guess they just saw how well Suicide Squad did, and they thought, we want another slice of that pie. No, look, I don't know. I can't reconcile this in my mind in the current environment we're in, seeing studios and people get laid off all over the place, that this could be a good idea. So, especially on the back of them cancelling like other single-player things like that, you know, we thought were coming back and should have been pretty safe bets. But, yeah. I don't know. I'm fascinated to see what it is. Like,
do you think there's any chance they might have like learnt the lessons of Suicide Squad and could rectify it in round two? Or is that just totally naive of me to suggest?
Look, I guess anything is possible. Through God, all things are possible. But look, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it also depends on the IP. Like, I think in my gut, I automatically assume it could be a Batman thing. But it could also be Harry Potter. It could be, you know, Lord of the Rings, I guess. Like, something with...
Mm.
Like, significant cachet, I guess. Like, Harry Potter, I think, could do well in a live service setting. Like, as bad as...
I think it's worth mentioning Lord of the Rings. I think it's Amazon now. So I don't
You're right. That. Yes, I realise that as I said.
Was Wonder Woman cancelled? Or did I just make that up?
Yeah, it got cancelled. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
What do you mean?
But, yeah, look, I think it depends on the IP and how they handle it and how they sell it, really. Like, I guess it's all about sort of the vision. Because as we've established, there are plenty of live service games out there that have thrived and are continuing to thrive. Like, you always think of, you know, how well Destiny did, how well Warframe still does. Wow. Like, there is a blueprint there that can be followed, but it just needs to make sense within the universe of what you're doing.
Yeah, I do agree. Hogwarts Legacy is a good shout, because I think that game did so well in its current form. The next maybe logical step to take that is making it a bit more of like a shared experience in some way.
Like, imagine that with like semesters and stuff that you like enroll to and then like go to class with your friends and stuff, like have a hotel.
Even if it was kind of more just kind of like even four player cooperative in the way that Suicide Squad was, it doesn't need to be like a full on like MMO kind of style thing.
Yeah.
Although that could be cool too. James, what would you like to see Rocksteady do? Have you got a preference one way or the other?
Probably just make what they're good at, I guess.
Is that like another Batman game, would you say?
Not necessarily. Like, I think with Arkham Knight, I distinctly remember, I could be wrong, but I distinctly remember people feeling like it wasn't as good as City, and maybe they should like move on to something else. I don't know if I'm remembering wrong, but I enjoyed Arkham Knight.
I think that was a sentiment,
So like, I think it was always interesting to see what they would do next, and then I feel like since then it was obviously Suicide Squad. Like, it's kind of nuts to think how much time had passed between that game and this game, and now, I don't know. Like, I could see potential in Suicide Squad. Like, I can see, just so everyone knows.
I can see.
Like,
I can see.
But it's been a long...
What,
been
like,
a
still
really
today
long
you can see potential in it? Or like
No. What I mean is like, when I played, I was like, yeah, I can see what like they were going for and how that was all meant to come together, and then how it was kind of fucked up by, you know, publisher meddling in a way. But... And then it never came back. Similar to MK1 in a way. Like, I think it's a WB thing, potentially. But yeah, I do worry, like, I don't know why they think that it's gonna work for them again, I guess. I'm sure they've learned some lessons.
My frustration
but...
with Suicide Squad was that, like, the game just never felt fun. Like, the loop wasn't there. You had the same kind of three missions, which, probably understating things somewhat, but it certainly felt like three.
Yeah,
same sort of three mission structures, and you just played on repeat, and none of the characters felt like particularly novel. Like, it just
They all had to be the same in a way because of like everyone had their own type of like say distance closer or something.
Yeah,
even how long it took to unlock the new characters was just like not a good time for anyone.
And I think that is, to me, that looks to me like there was something there. And obviously we know with Rocksteady, they started and stopped at least 2 to 3 different projects before they kind of landed on the game they released, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they had enough time to kind of get that objective variety in there or that mission design in there.
I still think that's the way to build a live service game, is like get your gameplay loop like down first and foremost. I think that should start in like a pretty small way. It's like lay a really like strong foundation, make it fun and kind of like pretty replayable in its own right, and then kind of scale it from there. Like a Fortnite, when it began, was just the one mode, it was just the one map, it had a pretty kind of limited weapon slate, and now it is this, you know, this world of itself with different game modes and massive sort of playlists and the creation mode and all of that, right? Like, they just didn't get strong enough foundation, I think.
Like, let's be honest, like, nothing is getting to that point again.
And it's hard to imagine. It's just a much more competitive space now.
I don't see Rocksteady doing that, of all people. Like,
no,
like, thing against them, but like, it's just how things are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think that, and the cool thing, maybe all the work they've done on their old shit that they've scrapped, they can kind of go back to all of that and, you know, kind of salvage some stuff and get something good out of it. And maybe that will help make the pipeline a bit easier for them. But yeah.
Yeah, I really hope they can kind of turn around. Hopefully I think I would like to see them kind of dabble in a different IP. I mean, maybe something kind of within DC. There's been kind of talk of like a Superman game potentially being kicked about as well. That could be interesting, like particularly kind of maybe being a bit more in the zeitgeist in the wake of the new.
The problem is with this stuff is that like we just had a really good Superman movie, but then in like 5 or 6 years, like say they're working on a Superman game now, like it might be awful again, and then that game is just like dead on arrival if that is the case. Just because I think the sentiment around these things, and like DC in particular, is so volatile. So it's just a hard space to be playing in, I think, for them.
I do, yeah. I think to answer your question, you're like, I would like them to maybe just do something of their own, or like say do like a Batman game, but it doesn't have to be tied to anything. Or, I mean, Superman. I guess we could say the same about Superman, but I don't know. I feel like
I would like. I think I just like a follow up to Batman. I just think they were so good, and I think it's been long enough now that they can just do something in that space, and it's gonna do well.
Yeah.
And they need to win some favor back, and that would be a good way to do it. Like, just a bit of fan service with another Batman.
Or, like, game. A smaller game or something, even. A cheaper game. I just think they need to change strategy. Not just them, everyone, but probably them in particular, or they're going to get cut.
Yeah. Savagely. Something tells me we're not going to be done talking about live service flops anytime soon. Hopefully there's a few wins in the not-too-distant future as well. Let's change gears now to talk about Microsoft walking back plans to price the Outer Worlds 2 at a high $80 price point. So that's the equivalent of about that $125 price that we've seen more of here in Australia. An Xbox spokesperson said, quote, "We're focused on bringing players incredible worlds to explore, and we'll keep our full price holiday releases, including the Outer Worlds 2, at $69.99 in line with current market conditions," that $69.99 being in USD, obviously. Brody, maybe back to you first on this. What's your take on this? Like, do you think, strategically, I suppose, them kind of flip-flopping on the price a little bit isn't a great look?
I think, if anything, it gives them this moment of, consumer-appeasing goodwill. But I assume this is all backed up by, I guess, market analytics to suggest that maybe games aren't selling that well at the $80 price point, possibly. I don't know. Unless anyone's
Do you think it's a reaction to maybe pre-orders being really low?
Could be that also, but then I don't know. Is that even like a viable thing to track at the moment when you've got Game Pass? Like, I feel like it's so muddy. Like, we talk about this all the time, but unless they're like tracking, say, PlayStation pre-orders or something like that specifically. But I don't know. I sort of view it as a good thing for consumers. Like I said, it gives them another, I guess, a good beat of news in a news cycle where it's been largely negative, I guess. It shows that they're listening to feedback, because the feedback was probably largely negative about the pricing. So yeah, I don't know, mixed bag, I suppose.
Shannon, but... like, what do you think the right price for a game to release nowadays is? Is there a right price?
You're muted.
You might be muted.
Sorry,
coughing as well. That's why James keeps going.
Yeah, sure. I do think $120, like, as a price is just a lot of money. Like, I was talking to someone the other day about Donkey Kong, and like, you're paying $100 for a really good game, but like, it's $100. I feel like at that point you're really thinking about the purchase, right? Like, as opposed to like $60 or $70, like, because these games just aren't being discounted like they used to be. They're sticking truer to their retail price of $120+. I can see both sides of it with this one, because like Brody said, like Game Pass, if someone's not playing it on Game Pass and they're buying it on PlayStation, well, you want to make as much money as possible, right? Because the people buying it is going to be naturally less than a game that's not on Game Pass. So I 100% understand why it's priced at that. I do think, just with the way the world is at the moment and like games being a bit mixed on day one, like people are more hesitant, and I don't really think this is the game where people are going to be like, oh yes, I'm going to try this on a whim for $120. I think it's... I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't think it has that pull that Obsidian or a Fallout or a Skyrim or a Gears of War or a Halo does, like, to be at that top tier of price points. So it's, like, destined to... It's not destined to fail. I just don't think it can pull in that person that's, like, either tried the Outer Worlds and maybe liked it and want to play this, or didn't play the first one and they're looking for a new game. I just think at that price it's too much, but then it pushes people to Game Pass. So like Brody said, is it? I don't really know what the goal is for them, but it did strike me as an odd choice. Like, being, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it feels like that middle tier of game, that trip, like AA type game. And I'm sure it's on, I'm sure it's AAA and full production values and everything, but it just doesn't strike me as that $125 game, to be honest.
I just think this year, like, look at Black Ops and this, and then this, and Outer Worlds was the one that was, like, given the big push up. Like, I feel like if you're going to do it for a game, do it for COD. Do you know what I'm, like, that
something that has an audience and you know people are going to be buying.
It has a massive audience. Like, it's a pretty surefire bet. Like, whereas Outer Worlds, I don't know. Like, and it's not, Outer Worlds was never going to be, it's like Avowed, right? Like, where there's like these mid-range kind of AA experiences. So
I don't envy the person whose job it is to kind of like decide what the prices of these games are. Like, I'm sure they're kind of doing like a bunch of math, try and kind of balance things out and like find a way to make it worth their while. Like, so much of this for me goes back to like just the scope of games, like at from the onset kind of being out of line with where the market is and like what kind of cuts through. Like, I kind of wish that, you know, the scope of games wasn't as big as they often are and that they targeted a lower price point.
This doesn't strike me as that, though.
Build it from there.
Like, it doesn't strike me as something that's taken them, like, 8 years to build.
No, I don't think it is either. I think they just saw Mario Kart and were like, oh, yeah, they want to charge $120 for that.
Yeah.
Like, let's try that. And it's like, look, this game looks better than Mario Kart or something. And then, obviously, it backfired. But,
yeah,
and I'm not saying that makes
Xbox
it like
kind of setting a price as opposed to like what Obsidian sort of had in mind. Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it was. I doubt Obsidian chose the price. I don't think many publishers choose. I mean, many developers choose their prices. I'm sure that's all set by publishers. I don't know that for sure, but I'm making an assumption, right?
I really think it's like, because it's not even physical on Xbox in most,
I think it is now.
World, is it? Okay,
or
is
something.
It?
It's all changed right, in like the last two, which is like another thing.
Originally, like just, it wasn't. Yeah, so it was, my correct. Feeling is, my feeling is they're like, oh, well, if someone doesn't want to pay $120, like they could just play it on Game Pass on PC or Xbox. So it's not the worst thing in the world for them. That's my thinking. Like, we're either making the full amount possible or they probably weren't going to play it anyway. But that's a risky little game, isn't it?
Yeah, to your earlier point, Jen, I think there is like an equity that some games carry that just mean they can charge more. Like, I think Nintendo can get away with it because it's Nintendo and people lap up their games. And for the most part, like, there's a pretty established kind of standard of quality that those games provide. Similarly, like Grand Theft Auto, they could charge probably like $150 for that when it comes out next year. And still, like, day one, it would kind of make it $1 billion worth of sales, right? Just because people know what they're going to get from that game. It's going to be kind of sufficient enough value, I guess, in terms of what they get for the $150. And they know that the online mode and stuff will come, all of that as well. To your point, Shannon, like where there's an unknown, people are going to be a little bit more careful about where they put their money, and I don't blame people for doing that. Like, it's an increasingly kind of tough time, and the cost of things are going up, and you've got to be a bit more careful about what you spend your dosh on.
It's a sentiment thing as well. Like, we've spoken how like everything needs to go right in a games like marketing campaign with how gamers are online, and I just feel like you just don't want to have these narratives about a game. So I don't know. I don't think it was worth the risk to go to the extreme with this one, but I think it's good that they've noticed that and dropped it.
Brody, is the Outer Worlds 2 something you're excited for?
I'll play it. Like, I like Obsidian's approach to these truncated sort of replayable RPGs. So, like, I never finished the first one, but from what I did play, I enjoyed the humor and stuff. So, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. I think it's, like, further evidence that Game Pass has been pretty good value this year as well. It's,
Grounded 2 out today as well.
I know. I was pretty...
Shout out for that.
If I had more time this week, I'd probably be downloading that and getting my Grounded squad back together again to play through that. Maybe one more piece of news. Let's see how we go for time. But new data suggests that the Switch 2 has sold 1.6 million units in the US in its first month, which beats the record set by the PS4 of 1.1 million units set. James, if we consider the launch lineup kind of pretty weak, and the price kind of too high by many people's standards, is this a surprise to you that the Switch has done as well as it has?
I don't know if I don't know if I agree with any of what you just said.
So you think it was a strong launch lineup and the price was reasonable?
Right lineup.
I think I mean it's not my perfect launch lineup, but I feel like there's a good mix. It was a good mix of games. You look at the Switch 1's launch; it was three games, like Bomberman, 1-2 Switch, and Zelda.
Zelda still probably one of the greatest games of all time. Mario Kart World, and not.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but Donkey Kong Bonanza is so, and that's like not too long after. I don't know. It doesn't surprise me. I just think now, like, sell us the future, Nintendo. Like, show us what's coming. Like, that's how I feel. I feel like we're in for a very front-loaded generation if this is the pace at which things are being revealed or shown.
Yeah. Do you think there's some truth in that, Brody, that maybe, like, I guess just the popularity of the Switch means this is launched really well, but that might kind of dip a bit quicker in the months ahead?
I think to James's point, I guess it just depends on how front-footed they are in showing us what is to come. There's games that we know are coming this year that we're still waiting for dates on, that we need to get a good look at these games. Like, we've seen bits of Metroid, obviously, but they could do a full direct on that and really sell people who are waiting for a more, I guess, hardcore game, to lack of a better term. How much third-party support have we seen for this game at launch, but it has just gone dry, effectively. WWE came out, awesome. But
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Borderlands got a date. Borderlands got a date. So, look, there are little murmurs and stuff like that, but I feel like they could go whole ass into it and just commit to it and tell us what the next year is going to look like. And I don't know, I feel like you could still keep people roped along that way.
Just on Metroid Prime 4, I noted this week that it had been raided in South Korea. Presumably that, at least hearing more about it, getting a confirmed release date, like, that's got to be pretty imminent, we would assume, right?
Yeah. The rumor has always been this week or end of July, so probably be announced any second during this podcast. Yeah.
It's probably going to happen whilst I'm editing the show and all this is out of
Yeah, we're waiting on Metroid, Kirby, and Hyrule to kind of round out the year, and third-party stuff. And then obviously there's Pokemon Dragon Drive, if that's up your alley. And I feel like I'm missing one other thing. Maybe not.
There's definitely... I reckon there's one more thing.
Maybe. Yes.
Still to be announced. You reckon there's one more thing still to be announced? Yeah.
I think they've done it perfectly. Really, I do. I'm ready for more now, but I think up until this point, it's been perfect because you haven't been able to buy it anywhere. There's been like a few third party games, like Mario Kart was enough for most people, and then Donkey Kong, obviously fantastic. But I think they are ready for like the next year with software to just like keep that train going on the track at full speed.
Presumably, Silksong comes out this year as well, which I can see being popular on the Switch.
Yeah. I want more. I hope it's this week because I am feeling like I want the rest of the year planned out. Even third party stuff. Like there's some really awesome stuff rumored, and we don't know any third party games on the way really.
I'm feeling like pretty content this year. Like if it was just Metroid Prime 4 that I got this year, that would probably be enough.
But
for
we
me.
Want but... dates, right? Like I want the dates for them. Metroid and Kirby and Hyrule. Like I want to know what's happening.
Yeah. And I reckon like as soon as they kind of come out the game,
three games
it announced, like...
and 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect.
It's very good going.
Yeah. It's a great first year in totality, I think.
Yeah. And you know if they come out next year and talk about like an Animal Crossing or like another 3D Mario, like there's so many things that could just kind of keep it ticking along nicely. But hopefully we don't see a lull like we've kind of experienced towards the end of the OG Switch. I've maybe got one more news piece that I can throw your way then. I'm curious for your perspective on this. Itch.io has hidden all their not-safe-for-work games to avoid issues with their payment providers like PayPal, etc. They're kind of clamping down on what kind of their storefronts that they partner with are selling. Brody, kind of first to you. Do you support the move and I guess like the stance of payment providers to kind of clamp down on this a little bit? Are you much across this issue?
No, I was about to say, look, I can't say I understood the question. So do you have any context for what's happened? I did hear something about mouthwashing getting taken off itch.io due to something to do with its Steam page, but I wasn't really across it. So
I think basically some payments provider is like dictating what is on and on websites, right? And like they've mandated the removal of all
goes
the LGBT
terms of services
games. Yeah.
So it's like a lobbyist group. I think an Australian lobbyist group has like penned an open letter, and I think they're like a Christian evangelical group. Basically,
fuck them.
Yeah. Putting pressure on payment processors like say PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of not let people buy games through like Steam and Itch that are, I get, so you have to talk about this with nuance, right? Like obviously from the get-go, people are talking about games about like, and stuff. And of course, like a lot of that shit is awful and shouldn't be there. But then like, as an example, mouthwashing has a subplot about that kind of stuff in it. And that game has been removed as an example. You're muted.
Shannon. What about sex with friends? Is that still kicking about?
I'm not.
That was a largely consensual time. So that's.
I mean, I think that. Yeah, but it's kind of stuff like that where like it's some of the stuff is questionable, but overall it is, it's been blanketed almost in a way where a lot of horror games, especially which are games that typically deal with, you know, more sensitive subject matter, are being taken down or not made for sale. Even on itch, you can't even re-download them if you own them already. Like it's like full on.
That's fucked.
I personally think like like obviously some of the more gross shit, like like I get that side of it, but then I also
worth,
don't think
like emphasizing there is some truly heinous stuff out there that, 100%, like I think in some ways the line does get blurred and other times there's a really clear distinct line and you need to just kind of shut that shit straight out.
But I also don't think like a payment processing company should be dictating what games can or can't be sold on Steam at the end of the day either.
Yeah. Or if they want to vet these products as they are, it needs to be done manually. They can't just like blanket these things off the planet. Because I mean, in the case of mouthwashing, like yes, it has sensitive subject matter, but it is meant to be provocative. And it serves what it's trying to do. Whereas obviously one of these other games, it's obviously just rotten shit that no one should really be playing. So, it needs to be approached with nuance and, I guess, some sensitivity to obviously just actually moderate if that's what they want to do. But again, I don't know who they think they are necessarily to be doing that. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I know we kind of tend to like steer away from kind of regulation on these things, but like I think in this case, not necessarily self-regulation, but kind of people in the know kind of stepping in and sort of intervening would be beneficial. Like, I kind of hate the idea that sort of lawmakers kind of come in that don't really understand or appreciate the nuance of these some of things. Like, I would love for it to kind of be, I don't know, some sort of industry body or something that helps kind of step in. I don't think you can kind of entirely rely on self-regulation, nor can you just kind of blanket rule things. So yeah, it's a really complicated issue, and I think one that requires quite a lot of nuance, and that with that comes hard work. But yeah, I'm a little bit concerned at the kind of rate, like the direction this is headed at the moment, and I know other, plenty of others are as well. So yeah, one to watch, I think, this topic. I'm sure it'll continue to evolve. Last one before we go to What the Wiki. A rapid-fire question for you all, though. A trailer dropped for Battlefield 6 in the week, and EA has been quick to kind of big up the game in the days following, and a multiplayer reveal is pretty imminent at the time that we're all recording here. I know the three of you aren't really big Battlefield fans, but I'm sure you're kind of no stranger to the fact that it's kind of lost a little bit of its popularity amongst its fan base over the kind of last couple of releases. Is there, do you have any sense that Battlefield 6 could turn it around? Yes or no? Are you feeling in any way optimistic for Battlefield fans that EA might be course correcting here? James, have you got a feeling?
Maybe. I think like Battlefield is cooler than COD. I think it's got it feels more premium.
That's an unpopular opinion.
yeah. But like, do you want to, like, I probably will eat my words, but I don't ever see like Nicki Minaj being in Battlefield as an example, as like a skin.
Or,
like,
do you think that makes Battlefield cooler?
Yeah, I would say that's because Battlefield doesn't have the cachet. It's not worth it for Nicki Minaj to be in Battlefield.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Maybe.
Next minute, she's like the face of Battlefield on the box.
Yeah, she's probably on the box.
I think this could be a very good Battlefield game. I just don't think it's going to be as good as EA want it to be. And that's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about 100 million players and all this sort of shit, and just outlandish fucking numbers that are just never going to happen.
I am optimistic. I feel like they're kind of leaning into the parts of Battlefield that people have liked.
Are they focusing on like a Battle Royale again?
A lot of...
Are they?
Which did not fucking hit.
Ewan.
Well, it looks like it has a proper campaign, right? Yeah, and that's a good start. Yeah. That's a good start.
I do think the best idea for them would have been to do a Battlefield Bad Company 3. Like, I think that would have been
literally what people have been asking for.
But there are bits of this that remind me in a big way of Battlefield 3, which was like a really kind of popular one. I liked the map design in that. It was set in modern. It was kind of, you know, cities people were well acquainted with, like really kind of like, kind of urban environments at times. That's the Battlefield that I like the most, so that excites me. But I don't know, even within Battlefield there's like so many people like love their different bits and pieces, and it all coming together is really tricky.
EA does this where, like, you know, Need for Speed was, like I said before, or even maybe not, I was going to say Tony Hawk's, but it's a different publisher, but like where like there's this one game like in the past that everybody loved that they just never really seem to go back to and just kind of ignore people. The Need for Speeds or even Battlefield. I didn't think about it before, but Bad Company 2 was one of those games I think feel like everybody talks about, everyone loves. Bring that back in some way.
I don't know if it's going to set the world on fire, just because I think, like we were saying before, like people only have so much money. I do think maybe COD being on Game Pass like opens the door for Battlefield like to be people's second game that they actually pay for, maybe. As opposed to buying them both.
Oh, you mean because they subscribe to Game Pass?
Yeah, because they're getting that money put towards.
Yeah.
Won't Battlefield be on it as well to a degree? Because of the integration with EA Play?
Access. Yeah, EA Play, whatever it's called. Yeah, potentially. I think they're making the right...
Poor James.
I thought he was going to like interject.
That just like not, burst not out of him. He couldn't even stop it. He couldn't even get ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a disaster, but I do think that they would be taking all the right steps. And they're spending a lot of money having creators and media go to play it, so I don't think it's going to be trash.
I know this wasn't meant to be the rapid-fire question, but the one last thing I'll add is that I do think they need to step away a little bit from what are those kind of like Battlefield like moments they always tote. Like, I know a lot of people don't like the vehicle nature of the game. They don't like the big conquest mode either. Like, I do think if they placed a bit more emphasis on like a tighter sort of infantry based mode, and yes, like Battle Royale, given the popularity of Warzone, they stand a bit more of a chance of getting some of the Call of Duty crowd over. But it is just a very different game. It feels very different. And I don't think they can really stray away from the feeling of it too much. So, yeah, it's hard. You can't win over the Call of Duty fans without losing all the Battlefield fans along the way. I reckon it's time for World of Wiki. The Press Start Podcast game show where the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page from an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess a game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. As last week's winner, James, will be in the hosting chair today. Quick recap of the scores. I'm in first place on 23 points. Just behind me on 22 points is you, James. Brody, you're in third on 18. Shannon, you're in fourth on 12. And Harry is bringing up the rear on 4 points. But James, as last week's winner, you are today's host. Take it away when you are ready.
This will be quick, I reckon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So everyone be listening.
On the buzzer.
Yeah. This game is presented from a third-person perspective with a primary focus on the main character's combat and stealth abilities, detective skills, and gadgets that can be used in combat and exploration. The main character can freely move around the main facility, interacting with characters and undertaking Ewan. Missions. Yes, Ewan.
Is this Batman Arkham Asylum?
It is Batman Arkham Asylum. Well done, Ewan. Wow-y.
Thank you. I was just waiting for a clue as to which one it was.
This one is... Okay. Yep, let's go. The key gameplay addition in this game is the taming and riding of mounts, known as buggies, which offer new mobility and combat options. Ewan. As players... Oh my god.
Yes, you are. Oh, no, I think I've done myself a disservice here. I'm just going to say undone. Dying Light, but I think oh. I'm confused it with the DLC.
No, it's not Dying Light, sorry.
Shannon.
Yes, Shannon.
Dying Light 2.
No, Shannon.
I don't know what the other one's called.
What's the DLC?
The Beast.
How long have I got for this paragraph to go on?
To be honest, it's only one paragraph, so you've got free reign, Brody. As players progress through this game, they uncover hidden mysteries connected to their shrinking and the strange Brody. Forces observing them.
Oh, shit.
Yes, Brody.
Is it the first one or is it the second one? Is it Grounded?
Ewan.
It's not Grounded.
Shannon.
Ewan.
It's definitely
you. Grounded. Is it Grounded 2?
It is Grounded.
That's unfortunate.
Wow.
God, Brody.
You paused long enough to let me.
Buggies would get you.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Wow.
Should I do the third one? Just
what about
fun?
Last week's controversy as well?
Yeah, didn't address it.
Didn't address that. Yeah, we
didn't address it at all.
We can.
Yeah, actually, I did. I did.
Oh, we'll go on.
Oh, yeah, okay, please.
For resolving that. Because I think if we just redo it and allow...
What?
Not the whole thing, but if I put another one to the two of you.
What?
No, hang on. Sorry. Yeah.
So what, yeah, he gets a chance to get an extra point.
I hadn't thought about this, and then I'd forgotten all about it.
I think Brody, he means take the point. Okay, just give it to Brody.
Yes, sorry, that's what I was going to do. I was going to dock James a point, award Brody a point, and then put another head-to-head to the two
so
of you.
So I could get 2 points.
Yeah, so well, I don't understand what's the reasoning of that. And so because, I just miss out.
Because you wouldn't have clean swept it, so we kind of needed to decide like who the...
Did he clean sweep?
Unless we did that, because did we do another game after that?
I don't remember.
We must have done, and then James would have got it.
I can't remember.
If you didn't listen to last week's show, Brody clearly buzzed in ahead of James, but I...
Didn't clearly buzz in.
it was clear to me.
It was pretty
clear. If he clearly had buzzed in, I wouldn't have gone ahead. But yeah, okay, whatever.
No, it wasn't clear in the room because of the lag, but it was clear in the edit.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not all of us have clairvoyant edit powers. Like, we can't see.
That's true.
Anyway.
What does this have to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
Does anyone have an idea for, like, a resolution for it? Or
I don't think it's that deep. I think we can just take a point away from me and give one to Brody. And I would love to do the head-to-head now for everybody as, like, an... If you just make up a game.
Are we... And are the stakes for anything? Is there a point on the line?
Should I just go?
Yeah, for you.
Hang on. So do I get a point just because or not?
From what I understand, I lose a point, you get a point, and then to make up for the mishap, you have an opportunity to get another point.
Yes.
But as do you.
But as does Chase.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Should Shannon be in on the bonus point?
He can if he wants.
I think he should be. I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Go on, Ewan.
It's not going to make much difference, is it?
Oh, wow.
This is you're going away for a month, Ewan. Good luck
to
you.
This is very dynamic. The most dynamic we've ever been.
So what does that put me on?
Okay, I just want to set the record straight on the scores. Today's round, I clean swept. So that's 3 points for Ewan. I've gone up to 26. James, I've docked you a point, so you're back to 21. Brody, you're up to 19. So there's now a 2-point gap between the two of you. Shannon, you're on 12.
It's fine. Can't win them all. Can't win everything.
All right.
Let's clear something up. Next week?
I'm not. No, actually, yeah. News to everyone listening. I'm away for the next 4 weeks, so I'm entrusting the show to the three of you, and I think Jake might be making some guest appearances.
Well, he can host.
Maybe he's just going to do some editing. I don't know, but
we'll work it out.
Mm.
Just the wiki extravaganza.
You're
going to
close the gap in the time I'm away.
Well, obviously, but
Then Brody's away though. So
I'm away in September. To be fair, yeah.
I'll be surging back.
Anyway,
James, do you want to go to Japan for like a fourth time this year?
I'm good for now.
All right, let's get this point going. What's happening?
All right, let's get this point going. Now I'm doing this. As Shannon does it, like just off straight from Wikipedia, so I need to be careful not
to. Isn't that how everyone does it?
The game.
No.
The goal of the game is to stay alive and healthy during the conditions of the zombie outbreak that have befallen the in-game world. The player spawns in a random area, usually near the coast, equipped with only simple clothes, a glow stick, a bandage, and a piece of fruit, and must begin exploring the large 225-kilometer-squared landscape of the fictional former Soviet Republic of Chernobyl to investigate locations such as houses, barns, and apartments to scavenge supplies. I love that no one's busted.
This is a UN game.
Such a UNS game. Yeah, it's such a UNS game. These supplies include food and water, which are vital to prolonging the player's life. Beyond the basics of survival, players can find various forms of clothing which allow for customization, extra storage, supplies for supplies and warmth. You get the idea.
Shannon? Is it DayZ? DayZ.
It is DayZ, yes!
I thought that, but I'm like, surely it's not that simple.
I thought it straight away as well.
The piece of fruit threw me, and then I never came back.
Oh, banana.
I love that I wrote off Shannon. It just came from...
Thank you.
Bridges the gap.
Be quadruple points. Just for being amazing.
I just realized if I've won this week, who's going to host next
week? Yeah.
Yeah. Do we award it to Shannon?
Shannon got the point, so he can read next week.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Come up with something.
I mean, I had volunteered to host this week if James wasn't going to make it as the highest in points. So if I'm not here, I feel like James, the next highest, should host it.
But I'm not. Isn't Brody the next highest?
You're higher than me.
No, you're on 21 points. Brody's on
19. Maybe we should do that. That the person leading hosts it. I think that's probably the only way to...
Because that helps keep it even as well. Yeah.
What if I get two points next week and then me and James are tied? Oh, I suppose I still read because I won. But anyway.
As long as you're there. Okay, with that, let's bring an end to us this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. Don't forget to give us your unpopular opinions, and these guys will react to those over the next 4 weeks whilst I'm away. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
Also joining us today was James.
Yep, I'm on Twitter at James, ATJMZ.
And last but not least, it was Shannon.
Yes, it was me. And you can find me at Shannon Crixty on everything.
I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao.